Good afternoon. It is a sunny 58 degrees in Richland Center at 12:09. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A man fell to his death while rock climbing at Devil's Lake State Park over the weekend. Baraboo Area Fire and EMS Assistant Chief Mark Miller says the 84-year-old man, who was part of a rock climbing group, had fallen about 25 feet on Sunday. The victim was still breathing when paramedics first arrived, but died from his injuries before a rope rescue system could be used. A rescue team was able to use the rope system to recover the man's body. Miller says the department typically handles about 5 rescues a year that require the rope system. Several citizens again voiced their objections to a development being built at Story Field at last night's Richland Center City Council meeting. The consensus was that they would like to see it go to referendum to let the people decide. Corporate counsel for the City of Richland Center, Michael Windle, discussed a letter concerning he and Mayor Todd Coppernall received October 3rd for demand for action concerning the emergency meeting for the Story Field development held September 24th. The claimant believed that notice was not given to the residents in a timely fashion that the council was going to meet to take action on the Story Field development. However, by his own admission, 25 and a half hours was notice was given. The state statute calls for 24 hours notice. The claimant states it is not just a legal one, but a moral one. Attorney Windle sent a letter in response which stated, quote, many times that as an attorney, I am unqualified to advise on matters of morality. You are right that the citizens deserve fairness, respect, and transparency, and I believe, both in my professional capacity and as a citizen, that it has been offered to them. What the citizenry does not deserve is to have the decisions of their duly elected representatives overturned by a vocal minority who threatened them and their positions rather than attempting to work with them to preserve what they can and/or improve on the project by providing constructive input. However, that choice is yours and yours alone. End quote. Pursuant to the Common Council's approval of the Story Field pre-development agreement on September 24th, a development agreement for the 8-duplex, 16-unit, zero-step housing project. The developer has completed a preliminary review and deemed the draft acceptable. The city and the developer will continue to work together to finalize the agreement. Key details of the agreement include recognizing the substantial private investment and infrastructure obligations and to incentivize this housing project. The city will sell the land for $1. Planning and engineering will begin immediately with site construction to start by May 15, 2026. The developer must complete the project within 2 years of construction. A performance clause requires payment in lieu of taxes if the project is not completed within that time frame. The developer is responsible for constructing all required public infrastructure in compliance with all applicable standards and permits. 3 options were considered by the council. Option A, to retain only the stormwater management area of approximately a half acre with no space for public use. Option B, to retain the stormwater management area plus public use space of approximately an acre. Or option C, to retain the stormwater management area plus public use space of approximately 1.4 acres. The council unanimously approved moving forward with option C. The city has historically received emergency management services through an agreement with the county, with the current contract set to expire on December 31st. On September 26th, the county provided a proposed 1-year contract to continue EMS for the city and other participating municipalities with a signing deadline of November 1st. The proposed 2026 EMS contract from the county includes material changes compared to the current and previous agreements. If 1-year contract is approved as presented, there will be an increase of $52,420 from 2025 to 2026, amounting to a total cost of $167,510. The council voted to decline executing the proposed 2026 EMS contract with Richland County as presented and instead authorize the city administrator to formally request an extension of the current EMS agreement through March 31st with a rate adjustment excluding capital expenditures to ensure uninterrupted service and allow time for a thorough evaluation of service options. The council also approved a resolution to increase the property tax levy for the fiscal year 2026, which is necessary to cover the increased contractual cost for the provision of joint emergency medical services by Richland County. In other action at last night's meeting, the Richland Center City Council approved an emergency purchase notification in the amount of $11,000 for overage expense to fixing the city parking lot. The requested 2026 contribution of $148,160 for the operation of the Richland Fire Department, the requested 2026 contribution of $53,190 for the operation of the Simons Recreation Complex. The MSA Professional Services Agreement for 2025 Pavement Rating and Street Inventory Services at a cost not to exceed $5,000. The expenditure of $1,000 for the cemetery GIS system correction work from an unallocated contingency. To approve the Veerbecker Pine River Dike Annual Inspection Proposal at a cost not to exceed $3,000. The execution of a 5-year contract with Republic Services for residential waste and recycling services, and to proceed with development of a transition plan that includes the closure of the city's transfer station by March 31st. The execution of a contract with Innovative Public Advisors for operational planning services, fully funded by an innovation planning grant. A Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Connect Communities Program application and contracting with Veerbecker Associates for grant administration services associated with HUD CPF grant B24CPWI2332. Following last week's community forum in Richland Center, we have been highlighting the different entities who make up the panel: the Richland School District, Simons Recreation Complex, the Richland Hospital and Clinics, the City of Richland Center, and Richland County. Today, we are focusing on the Richland Hospital, represented by CEO Bruce Reisler.
The hospital is a nonprofit corporation. We're 501c3, and so what does that mean? Who owns the Richland Hospital, if not the city or the county or something? Well, as a nonprofit, we have a corporation that operates independently, but its mission and purpose is to serve the greater Richland area and is self-perpetuating. So think of it as being analogous to Grace, right? Who does fantastic work, by the way, but who owns Grace? Well, we all do. It's a community board, or Richland United Givers, or any number of fine nonprofits in our area. So on one hand, we're a private organization, but on the other hand, if you know a little bit about healthcare, a lot of healthcare gets funded by taxpayers, by you and me, either with federal dollars or state dollars through the Medicare program or the Medicaid program, most substantially. In fact, roughly 72% of the revenue that it takes to run the Richland Hospital comes either directly or indirectly from government sources. So I feel we kind of belong up here in that regard. Again, we're not a public organization, but we definitely rely on the public tax dollar. And again, our purpose likewise is to serve the community.
A study in 2018 pointed to the strengths and weaknesses of the facility structure.
The upshot of that study 7 years ago was we've been in that location for closing in on 95 years at that point. In that same location, having modified, renovated, expanded to that building, we think 10 times over that nearly 100 years. And at some point, you have to start over. The building infrastructure, what's behind the walls and under the floor and above the ceiling, is no longer serviceable, can't be maintained. So the board back in 2018 started pushing us toward a replacement facility. We took a run at that. You may recall, we paused that planning almost 2 years ago now because the construction costs just made it unaffordable. But it's a reality that we'll have to face eventually. I'm not going to talk too much more about that, but it's something that I'm, in my professional opinion, will need to be done in our lifetimes.
In the meantime, TRHC has been doing some remodeling to its current structure.
We got a large federal grant to pay for the bulk of that. Roughly $4.6 million came about a year and a half ago with the support of our federally elected leaders. So roughly 80% of the cost is being borne by that federal grant.
Raisler stated that there are still a lot of questions to how the big, beautiful bill will affect rural health care with the cuts to Medicaid, but he is hopeful for the Richland Hospital and clinics.
There's a lot of things that haven't been specified yet. We don't know exactly, but I'm going to file it under it could have been worse. And we are in good financial shape at the moment. We're in the black, and we're putting together next year's budget, and we hope to be in the black next year as well.
He added that they have hit the jackpot with new doctors coming in. This is good, as there is a nationwide shortage.
We are going to have, uncharacteristically, a lot of great access for primary care. Again, I saw today a statistic that Wisconsin is expected to be short about 2,500 doctors by 2030. So there is nationwide a severe shortage of physicians. And so here again, we are on the fortunate side of that circumstance that we have a great team of our existing doctors and new ones coming.
Raisler announced that TRHC has also voted to get into eye care to offer ophthalmology and eye surgery care. They hope to be able to offer eye care in early 2026. The UW-Richland Alumni Association held its annual Fall Alumni Day to honor outstanding alumni from the Teachers College and campus. The mood of the day was that they could close our campus, but they can't kill our spirit. Lisa Bailing, Executive Secretary of the Richland County Campus Foundation, gave an update on how the foundation is keeping its legacy going.
We're able to honor our students and our alumni and our community with still being here. So with that legacy, we are still awarding scholarships. We awarded 113 students over $100,000 for this year. The other way that we are still honoring our legacy is through community grants. We give about $25,000 a year away to groups, organizations that are educating our community in some type of program. The last area that we are still honoring our legacy is through the Smart Farm. Trails are still open. We encourage you to come on out and use them. They are marked very well. You won't get lost in the woods, but it's there, and it's there for the community to use.
Bailing added that this is possible through the legacy of Darla Wentz. The Alumni Association honored all alumni who attended the event Saturday, as well as recognized five outstanding individuals. From the Richland County Teachers College, Ken Hansen from the class of 1965 and Jane Goplin Kinney from the class of 1967 were both honored. Kinney said the college was a help throughout her life.
It is an honor to be here and to share the stage with one of my favorite nephews. When I started out my education, I graduated from high school, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what I wanted to do or what I wanted to be or anything. But a lot of people were going to the teacher's college, so I thought, oh, why not? I'll give that away. So I went there for 2 years, and I got an associate's degree. And that associate's degree has taken me to many plateaus.
Her nephew, Terry Knothy, attended the UW campus and is from the class of 1976. He was also honored and talked about the times of his experience.
You got to think about what the world was like then, Richland Center in particular. I mean, we were right in the midst of the Vietnam War. We had so many kids at the high school, we were bursting at the seams. The city kids came at 7 in the morning, the country kids came at 9. We overlapped so that there was enough space to get everybody out of there. We had bomb threats, it seemed like, every other day, and we were getting out of school. But we had these amazing mentors and role models from Coy Cohn and Leo Keegan and Jim Elwell and Claire Haig, who just recently passed, and Denny Morgan and Ted Wheelock and people like that who we looked up to so much. But it was an era where discipline was the foremost thing that we kind of had to worry about at that time, you know, just to keep everybody in line. And when I went to the campus, it was such a breath of fresh air. Not that what happened at the high school wasn't good, but it was a nurturing environment. They wanted you to succeed.
Another outstanding alum, Julie Brock Stebbins from the class of 1973, said the education she received at UW-Richland was top-notch.
I can think back like it was yesterday in a way. It's over 50-some years, you know. But I always was impressed by the expertise of our faculty, the teachers. We were treated to some very, very high-level teaching. And having a small or smaller class size, I think, was so beneficial to all of us. And, you know, if you had a question, you could go to your professor, and you didn't feel like you had to stand in line a long time. So, and as you know, the faculty there was top-notch. And always was, even after the years I left and went to Madison to school.
The fifth honoree from the UW-Richland campus was Todd Albaugh from the class of 1991. Many know him for his work on WRCO and his current show on WRCE, but he is rooted in the UW-Richland campus as his grandmother, Marge Wallace, helped establish the campus and became the first woman to serve as a dean within the UW system.
My grandmother said this when she retired out at the student center. She summed it up and she looked at, I think it was Chancellor Alstick, wasn't it, from Platteville? And she said, quote, of starting the campus, she said, quote, we worked so hard and we kind of took a few things. We got called some names, but it was worth it, wasn't it? It was worth it, in my opinion. And as long as we keep not just her, but all the spirit of the campus alive, it'll continue to be worth it. So thank you very much, everyone.
The spirit of the UW-Richland campus lives on even after the doors have been shut. After all, once a roadrunner, always a roadrunner. Each year, more than 2,000 community-owned utilities like City Utilities across the nation observe Public Power Week during the first full week of October. Public Power Week is a celebration of these not-for-profit electric utilities that proudly serve the electric power needs of about 40 million Americans, or almost 15% of electricity consumers. Every public power system is different due to its community's population, geography, climate, natural resources, economy, and local government structure. However, all public power systems have in common their purpose: to provide adequate, reliable, not-for-profit electricity at a reasonable price with proper protection of the environment. City Utilities will celebrate the importance of the public power during the Public Power Week today. Scott Gauld is the electric superintendent for Richland Center City Utilities.
We'll be cooking for you for utility customers. Just looking forward to having folks come out, just educating our customers on, you know, things they can do, improve on energy efficiencies, water, wastewater, you know, the whole utility, some giveaways, and just it's been a really good event, and the numbers have grown annually. So,
City Utility customers are invited to enjoy a chicken and pork dinner from 3:30 to 6:30 today at the Richland Center Community Center.